So the reading today is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. And we ask that as we turn to this beautiful psalm, that you would teach us, that you would bless us, that you would encourage us. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I wonder if any of you have watched the BBC TV series Race Around the World. There's a few series of it. The idea of the show is that teams of two, sometimes it's a husband and wife or two brothers or two friends, teams of two will race across the world. They're given a set amount of money. It's the cost of a flight ticket to get where they're going, but they're not allowed to use any flights. They've got to travel along the land, and whoever gets there first is rewarded with a £20,000 prize. Last season saw the competitors traverse the length and breadth of Canada from Vancouver Island right up to the furthest north up at the Hudson Bay and then all the way across to Nova Scotia. And as they made that journey, they had many challenges to overcome. They had all sorts of difficulties to face: lack of money, lack of accommodation, lack of food, illness, injury, or in one of the series, actually their money was stolen by somebody that they encountered. And as they take on this challenge, they are always looking for help. The only way they can make it to the end of the journey is if they find people who are willing to help them. If they find people who will take time out of their day, complete strangers, to help them. They're always looking for help on the journey. As most of you will know, over these couple of months, over summer, we're going to be looking at the series of Psalms from Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134, which are known as the Songs of Ascents. And as we saw last week, these were songs that were sung by the pilgrims as they made their journey from their homes up to Jerusalem for the special feasts, feasts of unleavened bread, of weeks and of booths. And as they journeyed together, in some cases quite long distances to get to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs along the way. Again, as we saw last week, this pilgrim journey to Jerusalem is likely to have had its roots in the return of the exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. You remember how Ezra and Zerubbabel had led the first groups of exiles back to Jerusalem, and then how later Nehemiah returned and established the walls of Jerusalem, and how the temple was rebuilt. And there was fierce opposition all the way along. It might even have been Ezra and Nehemiah who brought these 15 Psalms together at the Feast of Tabernacles in 445 BC on the completion of the walls of Jerusalem to provide an ongoing memorial to the going up of the exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. And on each year thereafter at the pilgrimages, these songs would have been sang. 15 songs that come together about journeying home, about journeying home to Jerusalem, coming home to the temple, coming home to the presence of God. If you were with us last week, we looked at Psalm 120 and we were thinking about what it's like to be the outsider. And the answer was harassed and homesick. You remember Psalm 120, verse 5? Have a look at it and it will remind yourself. The psalmist was saying, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long I have had my dwelling place among those who hate peace. Too long in a foreign land. Too long an outsider. It's time to come home, home to the city of God, home to the temple of God, home to the presence of God." And so the journey begins, and we have Psalm 121 And this week the question is, where do we look for help? Where do we look for help? Remember, these psalms work on a personal level, the individual who lifts up his eyes to the hills, but they also work on a corporate level as the people of God together lift up our eyes to the hills and ask the question, from where does my help come? And hopefully you also remember from last week that just as Israel were outsiders living in a foreign land, so too are we outsiders in a foreign land. Our citizenship is not of this world. It's of the heavenly kingdom. And just as the exiles, the pilgrims, were headed home to Jerusalem, the city of God, so too we are headed home to the new Jerusalem, to the eternal kingdom. And as they and we journey along that road, sometimes we ask the question, where do we look for help? Where do we look for help? Can you imagine the challenges facing these first exiles who were returning home? There would have been people from all seasons of life, from those with young children through to those who were fairly elderly, and they would have to make this almost 900-mile journey, mostly on foot. Perhaps some might have had a donkey or a mule, but the majority would have been on foot, and it would have taken them some 4 months to make the journey. Every day they had to find food and shelter. Every day they had to walk the miles. Often they would be walking through hostile territory. They needed safety. They needed security. They would face all of the normal challenges of life, sickness, injury, plus the unexpected challenges of relationship on the road and the external challenges of those who opposed them and sought to frustrate them. And when they eventually returned to their homeland, they found it populated by people from other lands who weren't best pleased to see them return. It was an incredibly challenging journey. Where were they going to look for help? Even in these annual pilgrimages going to Jerusalem each year, they would have faced substantial challenges as some journeyed large distances along the road on the journey home. Where were they going to look for help? Some of you here in this place today might have a really good grasp of what these returning exiles experienced because you too have been involved in huge journeys from one land to another. Some of you have set sail in unsafe small boats. Some of you have walked across Europe to get here to the UK and you have faced many dangers, troubles, toils. Where did you look for help? As we make our lives, make our way through this life as strangers in this foreign land, as outsiders in this world, journeying on towards the new world, towards the eternal kingdom, there are many challenges that we face along the road. As we journey along the road, we come across sickness and illness, and in a split second, in a moment, our once strong bodies fail us. Where do we look for help? As we journey along the road, we come across sadness and the black clouds of depression envelop us. Where do we look for help? As we journey along the road, eventually we come across grief and it encloses us. Where do we look for help? As we journey along the road, we come across attack and opposition. Where do we look for help? As we journey along the road, we come across confusion and consternation, and we don't understand why we are this way, and we can't seem to see a way through. Where do we look for help? You see, as we travel through this world, making our way to the New Jerusalem, there are and there will be many problems that come our way, and we will need help if we are going to make it all the way. These pilgrims of old knew this. The psalmist knew this. And he said, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? He lifts his eyes to the hills. What might have been in his mind as he lifted his eyes to the hills? Well, it might be that the hills offered some form of help, some measure of help. In ancient times of warfare, when a city was attacked, then the populace would flee the city and head for the hills. They would run to the hills, trying to find a measure of help and safety and protection from the advancing armies. If you remember just a few short years ago when Islamic State were raping, killing and torturing with impunity, many of the Yazidi community sought safety in the hills. They ran to the hills, they hid in the hills, hiding from ISIS in the mountains of northwest Iraq. They found some measure of help in the hills. Or perhaps you remember the floods in Pakistan last year, or the huge tsunami of 2004, and how people would head for the hills, head for higher ground, because they knew that there was some safety to be found there at higher ground. But you see, the thing about heading to the hills is that whilst there is a measure of help there, there are also great dangers there. The Yazidi were safer from ISIS in the hills, but they were at the mercy of exposure to the elements. They struggled to find food and sustenance there as they hid in the hills. The hills were difficult to navigate, dangerous to be climbing in. Think of the many who are killed year by year, even in the Scottish mountains, as they go climbing. There are dangers in the hills. And while they might be the right place to run to when faced with a marauding army, in those days they were often the home of bandits and robbers and dangerous people also. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? The hills may offer some help, but it will always be conditional help. It will always be fraught with inherent dangers. It's uncertain help with many pitfalls. And as we navigate our way along the journey of life, there will be many times when we are in need of help, and there are various centres and sources of help. In our society today, we have a welfare state. We have doctors who can help us with our illnesses and psychologists who can help us with our neuroses. Some of us will think that we have our own skill and our own ingenuity and our own ability, and that's enough to navigate through any problem that life could throw at us. But just as the hills could offer a measure of help but not complete help, so these things offer a measure of help. They're part of common grace, but they're not complete help, and they're often fraught with many pitfalls and many problems along the way. The things of this world, the structures of this world, the helps of this world are not the place to put our trust, to seek our security, to seek our support. But there's a more sinister possibility concerning the hills, because the hills were often the location of the high places. The hills were often the location of religious sites, places of false worship. It might well be that some were tempted to seek their help in the idols of the day, to seek their help in the broken religious practices of the day. But the psalmist wasn't about to put his trust in the hills. He needed far greater help than ever the hills could offer. And we mustn't settle for the help of the world's support structures either. We mustn't settle for the idols of the world as our source of help either. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The psalmist knew that the answer was in the Lord. We look for help from the Lord. He says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There is a clear conviction here about where true help comes from. It comes from Jehovah. It comes from Yahweh. It comes from the Lord. The Lord God, the one who made heaven, the one who made the earth by the power of his word. This one who said, let there be light, and there was light. This one who said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, and all the creatures of the world came to be. This is the one from whom our help comes. God himself is the only reliable source of security, of safety, of support. God is the only reliable help for his people. The psalmist personally, individually acknowledges that the Lord is his help. He says, my help comes from the Lord. Can we say that as we look at our lives? Can we say that in the face of all of the challenges that we are facing today? Our health, our finance, our relationships, our loneliness, our sadness, our confusion. Can we say, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth? You see, if we are seeking help from any other source, It will be insufficient. It will be partial. It won't be enough, for the journey is too hard. The difficulty is too great. We need the Lord. We need his help. And think about it. Why would we seek help anywhere else? Our Lord is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He is Creator God. He's the one who fashioned the stars and the planets. He's the one who made each intricate cell of our bodies. He's the one who sustains the cosmos and keeps the world turning on its axis. He's the one who knows our hopes, who knows our dreams, who knows our hurts, who knows our pains. He's the one who has power over all things. Why would we seek help anywhere else? The people of the world seek help, often in substance abuse. The world seeks help in sex. The world around us seeks help and dulls the pain in conspicuous consumption and materialism. But the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where do we look for help? We look for it from the Lord. As I think about this psalm, I think it works quite well as a pilgrim march home. Because I can just imagine it sung in different parts. You remember those marching tunes that there used to be? Someone begins the first line, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? And maybe else someone picks up the next line. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then maybe everyone else joins in with verses 3-8 as they let the reality and meditate, chew over that reality and what it means for the Lord to be their help as they let it sink in. And that's what we need to do as well as we look at these verses. We need to let it sink in. Look at verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. Or he won't let your foot slip. Imagine a long walk through difficult terrain. The going is hard and it's very easy to lose your footing. How many walkers or climbers have come to catastrophe because they have lost their footing? But as we make our way through this journey of life towards the eternal city, we can be sure that with the Lord's help, our foot will not be moved. We won't lose our footing. Perhaps you are at a tricky place on the journey of life. You have decisions to make. You're faced with seemingly insurmountable challenges. You can't see the way through. Be encouraged that the Lord will not let your foot be moved. He will not let your foot slip. This Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, will hold you fast. The psalmist continues, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Those of you who have children will know that feeling at 3 a.m. when your son or your daughter bursts into your room in fits of tears, jolting you out of a deep sleep, and you say, what's wrong, what's wrong? And they say, I've had a bad dream. They've been afraid, they've been upset in the night, and they've had to come and wake up Daddy. They know that they'll find safety in Father, but they've got to go and wake him up first to make sure he's on duty. It's not like that with our Father God. Because he who keeps us will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is constantly wakeful, constantly watchful, constantly vigilant, constantly able to come to the aid of his precious blood-bought children. Do you remember that encounter between Elijah and the prophets of Baal at the top of Mount Carmel? The prophets of Baal were trying to call upon their false god to come and to burn up the sacrifice that had been laid out. But no matter what they shouted, no matter what they said, nothing happened. And Elijah said to them, perhaps he's gone on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep. You're not getting a response from your God because he's asleep. Believe it or not, it's actually quite common for ancient Egyptian gods and ancient Mesopotamian gods to be pictured in cultural artifacts as being asleep. And when people's prayers weren't answered, they would say that their gods were asleep. This is not how it is with Yahweh. This is not how it is with the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He never slumbers or sleeps. He's ever watchful, ever alert, ever able. You don't need to wake him up in the night terrors of your life. He is with you. He is for you. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Let that sink in. Have a look at verse 5. He is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. Did you notice the repetition of that word, keep or keeper? We have it 6 times in this short psalm. This is the language of protection. It's the language of providence. It means to guard. It means to keep watch. It means to protect. It means to preserve. It means to save life. Child of God, the Lord who made the heavens and earth is your keeper, your guarder, your protector, the one who holds your life, the one who saves your life. Now, when you are journeying through hostile territory, whether as an ancient Israelite exile returning home, or as a pilgrim making his way to the holy city, or as a child of God walking through this life with all of its challenges and troubles on the way to the eternal city, the key issue is protection, isn't it? There are many dangers, many pitfalls, but the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our protector. Now that should give us great encouragement, great security. I mean, think about the lengths that the Lord God of the cosmos was prepared to go to keep us. He sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death on the cross, to bear in his own body the wrath that should have been ours in order that he might redeem us, that he might make us his own. He did that for us. He is our keeper. He is our protector. And that should give us great confidence. He is our shade. Second part of verse 5. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Again, a picture of protection, a picture of covering. Until 2023, there weren't too many consecutive days in Scotland when you needed to worry about finding shade from the sun, when shade becomes critical. But I think this, think about what this means to someone who gets blistering hot sun day after day. Think about what it means for a pilgrim in the Palestinian wilderness. I once made the mistake of climbing a hill in Turkey because I was fed up sitting by the pool. I was hardly started, but I became desperate for some shade and returned a couple of hours later, a bright shade of red. I didn't find any shade. The psalmist says, "The Lord is your shade. He is your protector, your covering. He stands by your right-hand side. He is for you. He is with you." And while the trials and the troubles of life beat down upon us, we can know that we are shaded by our Lord who made the heavens and the earth, and from whom comes our help. Because he is our protector, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, there are a couple of things going on here. He protects us from the physical dangers of the sun, from sunstroke. We won't get sunstroke, so to speak. And he protects us from the moon. What's that all about? Well, there was a widespread ancient belief that people could do strange things depending on the cycle of the moon. That people could become a bit strange, perhaps at a full moon. It's where we get the English word lunatic from. Lunar, moon. And there actually are some studies that seem to indicate that crime rates rise sharply during full moons. I don't know whether it's superstition or not, but there has been a widely held view across cultures that the lunar cycle can influence mood. So maybe that's what the psalmist has in mind. Or he might simply be saying that whether day or night, God's protection is there for us. In Hebrew poetry, sentences like this often aim to reflect a totality. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night, to say you're completely protected, totally protected. The Lord is your shade no matter what. Verse 7, he will keep you from all evil. Now this doesn't mean that you will live a life of ease or a cushioned life. To be sure, you know well that there are many trials in life. But what it means is that you'll be well armed and well ready for life. It's a bit similar, I think, to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, deliver us from evil. Whatever befalls us, we're ready because he is with us. Second half of verse 7 says he will keep your life. We know from the Gospels that this keeping of our lives includes keeping us in the midst of great trials, keeping us in the midst of persecution. Luke chapter 21, Jesus is teaching and he says this, "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places, famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake." Doesn't sound like an easy life, does it? "This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." There's an eternal focus here. In the face of it all the trials, all the troubles, all the persecutions, he will keep our lives. We will not perish. That is an objective fact that transcends the subjective experience of any of our lives right now. And then, finally, the wildly encouraging verse 8. "He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." He will keep them as they go out of Babylon's gates and come into Jerusalem. He will keep them as they go out from their homes, festival after festival, and make the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem. He will keep us as we go out from this place, Sunday by Sunday, into the world and onto missional manoeuvres. He will keep us as we go out into the world and make our journey towards the eternal city. And he's going to do that, not just today. He's going to do that from this time forth and forevermore. How's that for help? I know that there are all sorts of struggles in the different lives of the people who make up the Harper Church family. The Harper Church contingent of the pilgrims who are headed for the eternal city. I know that there are some of us who are struggling with cancer and the implications of that. I know that there are some of us who are aging and failing and feeling the sands of time in this world slipping through our fingers. I know that there are some of us who are looking after loved ones who are slowly slipping away. I know that there are some of us who are labouring under the dark clouds of depression. There are some of us who are separated from our families and just so desperate to see them again. There are some of us who are in fear for the lives of our families overseas. There are some of us seemingly trapped endlessly in the asylum system year after year after year with our lives on pause and seemingly no prospect of change. I know that there are some of us here struggling with our identity or with our sexuality. I know that there are some of us here who have been excluded by family because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there are some of us here who are marginalized and isolated and fearful. There are some of us here who are overwhelmed with anxiety and dread and a multitude of other challenges. Where do we look for help? The things of this world will never bring any ultimate help or any ultimate satisfaction. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let that sink in. Let it wash over you. Child of God, know this. He'll not let your foot slip. He will not fall asleep on you. He is your keeper. He is your protector. He is your shade. He will keep you from all evil. And at the end of the day, you will be triumphant. He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Oh, precious Father, we pray that we would know the truth and the power and the help and the wonder of this psalm. In the midst of our trials, whatever they may be, may we know the help of Yahweh, who made the heavens and the earth. Father, in the quietness now, we remind ourselves that we can trust you. We rest in the truth that you will keep us, that you will be with us in our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.